Here we go. Welcome to the stairway here in the living room. This is a podcast for Steelers fans, by Steelers fans. I'm your host, Mr. Just Right, Mikey Whitesnake. And joining me on the stairway, my longtime friend, the biggest Steelers fan I know, Bad News B-Rye. B-Rye, I hope you're doing good this evening. Thank you for doing this podcast with me. And yeah, how's it going, man?
I'm doing great. The season's upon us. What better time to be a Steelers fan right now? Just things are just looking great, looking up. Very exciting year, and we got plenty to talk about today.
Oh, plenty. Yeah, so this is going to be a semi-regular podcast. It is a safe space for Steelers fans and Steelers fans only. Now, you're welcome to listen if you're not a Steelers fan, but it might make you miserable. It might make you jealous. It might make you upset, angry. We don't care. We don't care, Brian, because you know what? A lot of our friends, especially our colleagues here in the living room, Matty Funkhauser, Jerry Two Chainz, Len Biggs, let's be honest, they're Steelers haters. So this is for us. This is for us. This is, what do they call us, Brian? Yinzers? Yinzers?
Yeah, Yinzers.
Well, you touched on it just a second ago, Bri. You know, I can't remember an off season that's generated this much excitement, probably since, you know, at least our last time we were playoff worthy, right? At least in the conversation. I mean, there's just the buzz about this team right now is palpable. Wouldn't you agree?
I definitely agree, and I'm sure all those Jagoffs don't like hearing this, but, you know, we're the team on the up. Things are looking good. You know, is this the year? I don't know. We'll talk about it. We'll see where we feel about our team this year and into the future. But, I mean, how can you not be more excited than today's day?
Yeah, we've got a lot to unpack. So just full disclosure here, it is the final, we're recording on the final day of August. So it's August 31st, about 8 o'clock in the evening, Eastern Daylight Time. So if anything happens after that time, we're not going to talk about it. But the roster just got cut down. A couple transactions happened. We're going to get into that. We're going to cover the 53-man roster. We're going to kind of recap the offseason a little bit. We're going to talk about kind of our expectations, I think, for some different guys across the roster. We've got a very young team, but also some very key veterans. And there's a lot of progression and hopefully not a lot of regression. And that's part of what makes this team exciting, I think. And then we're going to talk about the schedule and our predictions for the upcoming season. So, B-Rye, you ready to get started here?
You pull up. That's it.
All right. We're going to start on the offensive side of the ball. We're just going to go over the 53-man roster as it stands today. I know there was one transaction, well, two technically, to fill out the 53 since the official cutdown period. But on the offensive side of the ball, we have our three quarterbacks. We got Kenny. We got Mason and we got Mitch. No surprise there. I did want to touch on, Bri, but both Mason and Mitch, with some contract extensions, right? They both signed extensions in the offseason, both those guys. I find that kind of surprising, to be honest with you. You know, I guess I can see it from their perspective. Like, if Kenny doesn't pan out, maybe they have a shot at being a starter again. But on the same token, I mean, maybe they're kind of happy being backups. Maybe they like it in Pittsburgh. But I think our quarterback situation, all told, is pretty solid. I mean, I don't think we're going to go anywhere with Mason and Mitch if they had to take over. But let's be honest here. The real gem of the bunch is Kenny Pickett. We're going to be talking a lot about him in the season to come. He's kind of the keystone, if you will, pun intended, for the whole franchise moving forward. And what's your thoughts, Brian? I mean, what's your thoughts on his quarterback group? What's your thoughts on Kenny Pickett heading into season two?
It's a deep group. I think Mason, I'm admittedly not a huge fan, but for a number three, I think you got to be happy with that. You mentioned Mitch and that extension. I think part of that too was to kind of reduce his contract, but I think he's at a stage in his career where he's happy being a backup. I am comfortable if Kenny were to miss a game or two for him filling in. I don't think he's somebody who's going to win big games for you, but with the defense we have, I think he's serviceable. You know, I'll be honest, in the offseason, I kind of hoped we would maybe trade a Mason for something, but I'm not really sure if there's anyone out there looking for his services. He did sit on the free agent market for a little bit, but Kenny's where it's at.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're all very anxious to see the early returns are very positive this preseason. What they scored a touchdown on every drive that they played in the preseason, the starting offense.
Yeah.
Some absolute dimes downfield. I mean, and that's key, right? I think last year, pretty conservative with their play calling. Young group, young quarterback. A little bit more zip on the ball this year, it seems like, for Mr. Pickett. Got married in the offseason. Lots of big things happening, Brian. I mean, we're gonna talk a lot about Kenny as the season goes on, so we don't want to belabor the point, but I think all of Steelers Nation is cautiously optimistic at this point, and I think some of the pundits that came out after we took him 20th overall a couple years ago in what was considered to be a weak quarterback class. Well, let's just say those same pundits, I hope, are kind of eating some of their words and having their foot in their mouth, so to speak, as we move on. And Kenny can kind of prove them wrong that, you know, he was worth that first round pick. He is a franchise quarterback. One thing's for sure is it could be a lot worse. You know, the early returns could be a lot worse. He showed promise last season. He's a leader. And I'm just really excited to see how his year two progresses. So, you know, one of the things that's always defined Steelers football, B-Rye, is the running back position. Of course, we just recently lost the late, great Franco Harris. You look back to the bus, Jerome Bettis, Barry Foster, Bam Morris. The names go on and on, right? Rocky, I mean, come on. This team is built on running the ball and success through running the ball, dictating the pace of play. And I find it interesting, B-Rye. I find it interesting in a league that is moving towards you know, the pass attack, and rightfully so, that some teams, and I think the Steelers are one of them, are still going to be willing to kind of grind out these games. And the guy who's going to be asked to carry that load is Najee Harris, entering year three. It looks like you're wearing your Najee jersey. Is that right, B-Rye?
I am wearing the Najee jersey here. Yeah, pretty big fan. I think, you know, there's definitely some debate there on whether the Steelers should have used a first-round pick on a running back.
Sure.
So far, you know, that's not looking great, but I think the best of Najee is to come. He really picked up last year after he got over that injury. I think with a better O-line here, if they can open up some more holes, he's going to really be able to grind out the defense late in games, and that's really the best way to close out games and keep your defense fresh for the long haul.
Yeah. I mean, this is a key year for him. Next year, we're going to have to decide if we're going to pick up that fifth year on him, because we'll be at the fourth year. So we kind of need to figure it out soon. I think you're going to see them run the wheels off him. He played through an injury last year, a foot injury. I think it was Elise Frank or something like that.
Yeah.
That I think bothered him. You know, B-Rye, he's the type of running back that if you need 3 yards, he'll get you 3 yards. If you need four, he'll get you four. I want to see him take that next step. I want to see his yards per carry go up. above four. I believe both of his first 2 years, they were below 4 yards per carry average. He's capable of catching the ball out of the backfield. He's capable of leaping over guys. We all know that. He's athletic as hell. He's a pounder. Mm-hmm. Not a home run hitter, so to speak, but neither was a guy like Le'Veon Bell, for example. You know, these are all guys that, you know, Le'Veon would fall forward every time and get you that extra yard or two on each run. And I want to see Najee start to break off some longer runs this year and really become, I think, the weapon we drafted him to be. That being said, B-Rye, we got another guy here who showed a lot of promise, Jaylen Warren, okay? And Anthony McFarland, I believe this is his fourth season, has had a very strong preseason as well. They're only carrying 3 backs on the 53. What's your thoughts on how this backfield shakes out, B-Rye? Is Jaylen a threat to perhaps take a significant chunk of carries from Najee and maybe have a 1A, 1B type situation? Is he good enough?
Is he good enough? I think the question is, can he handle a larger role? Like, if Najee were to miss 3, 4, 5 games, can he carry that kind of a load? He's not a tall guy, but he's very compact. He's very muscular. He has a good size for a running back. I think that's to be determined, but I would love for them to just, you know, if not a 60-40, maybe, you know, somewhere like a 70-30 split, keep Najee fresh. Jalen's that lightning that we need to mix up with this team. I think that it's to be determined if he is truly a guy that should be pushing for a 50-50 split with Najee. We'll see. I think this year we're going to learn a lot about him.
Yeah, that's a good point. He is very compact, muscular, you know, not quite as short as like a Maurice Jones-Drew type, but he kind of reminds me of something like that. But he's got the burst. What did he have, like a 60-some yard carry in one of the preseason games? Or he just rifled, right? No, yeah. Hesitation. And I think that's what a lot of Steelers fans see when they see Najee. They see a lot of, I don't want to say tiptoe and tap dancing. Definitely not to the extent of Le'Veon, where he's waiting behind the line to find that hole. Mm-hmm. Whereas Jaylen just kind of hits it. He makes cut. He's upfield, and if he needs to run over someone, he's capable of doing that. But he can break the longer runs. So. Maybe thunder and lightning isn't the best analogy, but I think that's kind of what we're looking for, right? I know I'm high on Jaylen. I was high on him last year. He can catch the ball too. He's a weapon. He's a bona fide weapon. And I'm very interested to see what Anthony McFarland could do, because I thought he looked great in the preseason, to be honest with you. So we'll see how this backfield unfolds, B-Rye. But suffice to say, I think any success the Steelers hope to have, especially against some of the more high-powered offenses, and God will in the playoffs, this running game is really going to have to be a significant factor, no doubt. All right.
Agreed.
You touched on earlier, B-Rye, I think the biggest key to this team heading into the season and one of the biggest areas that need addressed was the offensive line. So a lot of work was done. A lot of guys are out. So we somehow traded Kendrick Green. We somehow traded Kevin Dotson. And these were guys who we were really hanging our hats on here a couple years ago coming out of the draft as being significant pieces. They're both gone. Chuks Okorafor remains. He's turned out to be a very serviceable, what was he, a 7th-round pick? Or so he was a late draft pick, and he's turned into a nice little tackle there for them. Dan Moore has showed up on the other side of the line to kind of fend off 1st-round draft pick Broderick Jones. So the tackle positions are already looking pretty good. Dylan Cook, I think, is a surprise here. One of the camp darlings, one of the guys I think that really, you know, earned his spot in training camp, so to speak. They seem to be pretty high on him. James Daniels is back for his 2nd year with the team. I think they had high hopes signing him out of free agency. They definitely targeted him in free agency to be you know, a key part of the line. I think he came around towards the end of last year. Mason Cole is a center. I think that's the best way we can describe him. He's a serviceable center. He's no Pouncey. He's no Dermoni Dawson by any means. And then you have Ciamolo coming over from Philly. Andy Waddle knew him very well. Very anxious to see how he kind of solidifies the interior of that line. Then you have Nate Herbig, brother of Nick Herbig, also an ex-Philadelphia Eagle, I believe. So some familiarity there as well. And we also drafted Spencer Anderson, I believe, in the seventh round, who can really play anywhere on the line. And that's your offensive line, B-Rye. Remade, rebuilt from the ground up from 2 years ago. It looks much, much different than a line, I think, that drew a lot of fair criticism from a lot of Steelers fans. It just wasn't good enough. So this is what they've done with it. Some guys from the draft, some guys from the outside. Is this group going to be good enough to get it done, B-Rye?
I think so. And this has the fingerprint of Andy Weidel coming from Philadelphia, instilling that belief in where the trenches where championships are won. Really, like, this has been a weak link for a couple years now. It's been rough. So for us to get rid of some of those guys for some draft picks and add guys in different ways through the draft, through free agency, we have a nice mix of very young guys and then also some of those veterans who are really becoming the leaders on this offense. Spencer Anderson, a surprise guy that made the team late round pick. He can play any position. I'll be honest, I didn't know Dylan Cook was on the radar, but I've been hearing really good things about him as a tackle. So you really have to like where they're headed here. And I expect them as the season progresses to continue to gel, because we do have some new guys in here. You got to love how Dan Moore showed up to compete in the offseason, showed up lean, stronger. He's ready to go. And he might be the future of our team at right tackle if we don't retain Chooks. So like where this is headed.
Yeah, it's a good point, B-Rye. I mean, Dan Moore, he definitely showed up. I think he's successfully fended off Broderick Jones. We're not going to be put in a position where Broad has to start right away, which I think is good. Yeah. You know, he's a mountain of a man. He's very athletic. He's lean, you know, for his size, I would say. Obviously, we drafted him, traded up for him a few spots with the Patriots there in a draft to 14. To be that franchise left tackle, to be Kenny's guy, hopefully for the rest of his career, quite honestly. So it's going to be very interesting to see if he's able to achieve that. The last time we traded up in the first round didn't work out so well with Devin Bush. So let's hope things are a bit different here with Broad. I mean, I don't think anything to be concerned about at this point. I don't think they wanted to start him right away if they didn't have to. So kudos to Dan Moore. To step up to the challenger and fend off the rookie. You mentioned it, B-Rye, a nice mix of veterans with upside still. You know, no one here is really... Ciamolo, I think, is even still under 30, if I recall, late 20s. So no one really over the hill by any means. So there's still some upside in the vets here, too. And no excuses. No excuses, I think, for the running game for Najee. I mean, they've given him the insulation there to be successful, and they've surrounded Pickett with some quality guys here. So, you know, always health is going to be a factor any time we're looking at the roster here, especially this early in the season. But I think they have the pieces to be successful, and you have to have a good line to be successful, especially in the AFC. So. I'm looking forward to see how that group continues to gel. His chemistry is a big part of the O-line, no doubt about it. All right, B-Rye. At the end of the line, you have this position called the tight end, okay? And I think a lot of the time, especially nowadays, when you think tight ends, you think of guys who are catching passes, your Travis Kelce's of the world, you know, all these guys who get all the attention, your Gronks, you know what? But these guys are really meant to do a lot of dirty work too. And I think we have the guys who can do a little bit of both, you know, and I don't think they're going to be considered the, you know, upper echelon fantasy guys by any means. Pat Freiermuth, of course, returns. Darnell Washington is the guy I think a lot of Steelers fans are intrigued by, both from a pass catching perspective and a blocking perspective. I mean, he looked pretty good as a blocker in the preseason. His college tape is something to behold, really. You know, when you're playing on Georgia, you're playing against a lot of legitimate opponents, and I think there's a lot of reasons to be excited about him from both aspects of his job there, both as a weapon in the offense and as kind of a road grader, you know, kind of sixth or seventh offensive lineman at times. And then you have here on the roster, they have him listed as fullback slash tight end, Connor Hayward, who I am also very intrigued by, because anytime he gets involved in the play, he makes a play. So less of a blocker, more of a tool, a Swiss Army knife, if you will. Even in the preseason, he had a couple handoffs from the backfield, B-Rye. What's your thoughts on this tight end group and the dynamic they add to the offense from both a pass catching and blocking standpoint?
It's a very unique group. I'd say each guy has their own strengths. You have Freiermuth, who I think has high potential as a pass catcher, and he can hold his own as a blocker as well. Connor is just, he said, Swiss Army knife. He is, we have a lot of weapons out there. How do you get him the ball? He needs to be a part of the game plan, whether it's in the backfield or lined up as tight end. I really like him. And then Darnell, I've been hearing that the coaches are surprised with where he's at from a pass catching perspective. He's really developing. And, you know, if he wasn't such a good blocker initially, I think they would have kept Gentry. But really, I think them getting rid of a solid veteran like him shows where Darnell is at. I think he's ready to contribute right away. Gotta love this group.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Gentry is one of the guys I wanted to touch on the cuts. I think he was one of the guys on the bubble, so to speak. You know, there was word out of camp that he was in a walking boot, so maybe injuries played a factor. Maybe he's a guy, if someone doesn't pick him up, you know, I'm sure he'll be one of the first guys in the Rolodex there for the front office to bring back if he's healthy. I think he's highly regarded as a blocker, especially, and he can catch some passes too. So, you know, if he was healthy coming out of camp, which I think at this point we have to assume he wasn't, maybe there is another move made there, perhaps in the next group, the wide receivers we'll talk about. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see Gentry back in the black and gold at some time in the future. But I think Darnell kind of forced their hand a little bit. I think they want to see him involved. He's got hands like catcher's mitts. And I'm just excited to see what he can do. He slipped in the draft because of supposed health concerns, I think with his knee or something like that, maybe a little bit of wobbly knees or something like that. He fell down to the 90s to the Steelers, but we'll take him. A lot of tight ends got taken before him, and I think he might prove a lot of people foolish because his profile is exciting. A lot of comps to a guy like Mercedes Lewis, who's still playing, right? I think he's just signed again. He's had an umpteen year career in the league because he's an effective blocker and was a very good pass catcher earlier on too. So, you know, if we can get a guy, you know, if Darnell can turn into a guy like that, you know, we got a big win there on our hands. So very excited to see how they pan out, and also very excited to see how they continue to use Connor. He's very much proved that just wasn't a nepotism pick there. So I want to see him get more involved in the offense too. Now to the sexiest position on the team and a group that, you know, in the last you know, several years, especially this franchise has been lauded for their drafting of wide receivers and their development and just kind of finding guys in the second and third and fifth rounds to really be productive. I mean, I think a lot of teams envy our ability to draft wide receivers. And you know what, B-Ry? I mean, you know, going back to when I think we really started being fans in the 90s and such, you know, I mean, we had some decent wide receivers. We had our Yancey Thigpens and whatnot. But, you know, as of late, it's really been a key part of our team to find those guys who can contribute in the later rounds and not have to spend a ton of money to re-sign him and kind of cut bait at the high point. So right now we got Deontay Johnson, obviously. I've always thought of him as kind of an ideal number two receiver, not necessarily a number one. And that's where I want George Pickens to come in. I want to see him ascend to be that true number one, that next great Steelers receiver, so to speak, take over that alpha role in the offense, continue to develop his route tree, be a little bit more versatile. He's made some highlight reel catches in practice. He made some great catches in some games on some great throws. We're bringing in Allen Robinson via trade this offseason. Interesting pickup. He's pushing 30 years old. He's 3 years removed from, I think, a couple 1,000-yard seasons in Chicago. And then did he have 1,000? No, he'd never had. He's had two down seasons. One down season in L.A. His last year in Chicago, too, was pretty down. But before that, he had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, a Penn State guy, veteran presence in that room. And we have Calvin Austin, redshirted from his rookie year injury, who looked fantastic, quite honestly, in preseason from both a return standpoint, a special teams standpoint, and as kind of a gadgety guy and a deep threat guy in some of these preseason games. He took some jet sweeps for some big yards. And he caught, I believe, a 60-some-yard touchdown from, I want to say it was, I think it was Mason threw it to him. Who am I missing here? Boykin, former, what was he, a first, second-round pick from the Ravens. Big special teams guy. And Gunnar Olszewski makes the cut. Another special teams contributor, kind of filling in that Ryan Switzer esque role where they kind of plug these guys in. Olszewski, I'm kind of surprised he made the team, quite honestly. He was definitely a bubble guy as well. So they're carrying six wide receivers coming out of camp, and a couple guys here who are, you know, Boykin's a serviceable receiver. Olszewski, though, you know, you might see him returning some kicks if Calvin Austin becomes more of an offensive weapon. Overall, though, Brian, a lot of talent. What's your thoughts on this wide receiver group? Can they keep up with some of the more lauded names in the league?
That is a very good question. And I think this offense can only be as explosive as some of these players like Pickens and Calvin can be. So you know what you get with Deontay. He'll have a couple drops here and there, but really he's a separator. He gets open. He makes things easier for the quarterback. I think as the offense opens up, you might see some bigger plays from him. What he had no touchdown last year, I think, which is unbelievable. I think that's going to change in a few. In the preseason, he had some big plays. That's going to continue. But really, if this offense is going to be explosive, it comes down to Pickens turning into a legit number one. He can make the highlight reel plays, but can he catch 7-8 balls a game and really make defenses scared? That's the big question. I think with Calvin, stay healthy, stretch the defense out. Can he continue to do that? That can change everything. Freiermuth that could really just open things up for the running game as well. So that's huge. I do like the Allen Robinson signing as well. Veteran presence. His days on the outside, I think, are over as a threat. but on the inside, as a slot guy, I think he can do some things there as far as like being a safety blanket for Pickett. And then Boykin, one of the best special teams gunners in the league. Gunner, I was also very surprised that, not surprised that he made the team, but he's definitely someone who's going to be on the edge throughout the year.
Yeah, I think we had high hopes for Gunner last year. I think he muffed a couple punts, right? Overall, he was kind of disappointing. So I thought he was on the outside looking in, heading into this camp. But it seems like he's earned his way back. Now, what he does on Sundays is another thing. You know, I want to see the proof in the pudding, so to speak. But, you know, you made a good point about Allen Robinson too, B-Rai. In some of the preseason games, he showed some good chemistry with Kenny. He came back on a lot of routes to help Kenny out when he was kind of under duress. I don't think he's going to be the peak of his career, Chicago Bears. I mean, I think this is his ninth year in the league, so he's got a lot of miles on the tires after a disappointing show in L.A. But, you know, I think a veteran like him is important to have in the room. And if we can get 40-something catches out of him for 600, 700 yards, it's going to be a worthwhile trade for them. And again, you know, we talked about their tight ends. All three of them can catch the ball. So Kenny is not short of weapons by any means. I mean, you look at all these skill positions, they all have some type of pedigree. They all have some type of success in the league, save for, you know, Calvin, who's basically a rookie, and Darnell, but they're capable. They're capable pass catchers, playmakers, and, you know, there's not a lot of pure blockers. You know, even Boykin was a high round pick. Now, that's not really how he's been used in the NFL so far, but he's earned his way on a roster. He's a special teams contributor, and a pinch, he can catch a ball. So I'm real excited to see what this offense does. They got a lot of tools in the toolbox, so to speak. So that's the offense, B-Rai. Overall, I'm feeling pretty good about it. So let's go to the spine of the Steelers, so to speak, the defense. What we're really known for, running the ball and playing good defense. Now, you know, I like to toss around a Steel Curtain 2.0 a lot. on paper, you know, obviously we're far away from calling them that. We're far away from the Super Bowl 40 and 43 teams when we were really elite defenses. But last year, numbers wise, B-Rai, we were creating turnovers. And, you know, my main criticism of this Steelers team the last handful of years, right, is either the offense is really good and the defense is mediocre, or the defense is really good and the offense is mediocre. And I think one of the things that make this team exciting is I think we really have the chance to have success on both sides of the ball. And you really need that in today's NFL to be successful. You know, when your offense isn't a high-powered machine like your Kansas City's and some of these other teams, you know, you need to have a good balance. And I think the defense is going to bring that this year. We created a lot of turnovers last year, a lot of sacks, you know, which is par for the course for us. And we're going to have the potential to do it again. So let's start out on the D-line. We got Montrevious Adams in the fold. We've got rookie Keanu Benton from Wisconsin. We got Cam Hayward back, obviously. DeMarvin Leal, who I'm excited to see how he kind of continues to develop. Ogunjobi, who's got to stay healthy. You know, he's got the potential to be a veteran. You know, they re-signed him. And when he's in the lineup, he's good. But he's got to stay healthy. And we ended up keeping both Loudermilk, who we traded up for in a draft a few years ago, and Armand Watts, the free agent from Chicago. You know, Cam's got to stay healthy, but I think with the addition of some of these guys, he can rotate in, he can get some blows on the sideline to kind of stay fresh later in the year. He's a stalwart, but a lot of these guys, like I said, Ogunjobi's got to stay healthy. And I think we need to see some serious contributions and development from guys like Leal. What do you think about this group, Brian? Do you think any of these guys are kind of able to step up and maybe start taking the baton, so to speak, from your guys like Cam Hayward, you know, especially now that Oh, Alu Alu, guys like that are no longer on the team.
Yeah, I think that's the big question here. Cam's not getting any younger. Obviously, last year he was still fantastic, but you don't want him out there, you know, as much as he has been. He needs to breathe there. It's a long season. So we do need some young guys to step up. I really like the youth here. I like the depth here. But which one of these guys is going to show that they belong as a starter in the league? If Cam goes down, that's scary. Larry has had his own health issues. He showed up looking just jacked, just ripped, lean. But then he, you know, has been missing some time. So there's concern there. For them to be dominant, I think those two have to stay healthy unless one of these younger guys can step it up. Keanu Benton, it looks like a home run draft pick this year. I saw that he graded out as one of the best defensive linemen against the run during the preseason, according to PFF. So that's very impressive as a rookie. I think he's the real deal. I like what I've seen from Leal. He's got a unique body set. So, you know, how do you use him? I don't know if he's a traditional 3-4 end kind of guy, but he's got a little bit of wiggle where he can pass rush, and he doesn't give up a lot against the run there. Now, Loudermilk, I think we'll see see if he can take that up. He's shown good things, but he's also been inconsistent. And then I'll be honest, Watts is a guy I didn't know much about until recently. I had to look up some information from him. He's out of Christian Brothers College, and he enjoys fishing on his free time. So definitely rooting for a guy like that. It's a good group, but, you know, I think there's a little bit of risk here.
Christian Brothers College, you say?
Yeah.
Hell. Look. Okay. I guess that's what would that be? What do they call that? A parochial school? A religious school? I would guess.
That's what it sounds like. Is he the first person out of Christian Brothers School to make the NFL? I don't know, but
I don't know.
If so, that's very impressive.
You know, Leal showed some flashes last year. He's a lanky, long-armed, kind of goofy-looking guy. But he made some plays, B-Rye, and I'm really anxious to see how they use him. He's somewhat versatile for his size. He's like a tweener. Like he kind of looks like a nose tackle one second. The other second, he looks like more of an end. You know, you can shift him across the line, I think, but he made some plays last year, and he was a higher round, a third round pick, I believe. He's the one guy I think on the team I really want to see step up, kind of take that next step. Because if you can start hitting on him, and Benton can continue to progress to what he's shown so far and the potential he has to kind of plug that middle, so to speak. Now you're cooking. Now you've got some flexibility to plug in there with Hayward. I think this is the key for the defense, along with this next group we're going to talk about, which is the linebackers. Let's start on the inside, because we've been searching right for that piece on the inside ever since Ryan Shazier's unfortunate injury. you know, we thought we had that when we traded up to, what was it, 10 overall for Devin Bush. You know, it was the two Devins in that draft, Devin White and Devin Bush, and we ended up with Bush. And, you know, the knock on him was production. He had the athletic profile, but he really didn't have the production. He had a good rookie year, then he got an injury with the knee, and he was just never the same. He did make Seattle's roster, so, you know, they cut bait with him, and there was questions of whether they would keep him. But he did end up making a team, but, and Godspeed to him, but, we're still searching, for that answer on the inside. So we looked to the outside to fill the inside this year, B-Rye. And I don't want to say we're throwing, shit at the wall here, to see what sticks, but that's kind of what we're doing here. But this is, where I think Omar Khan in the front office did a nice job in picking up some veterans with some leadership skills, with some games under their belts. Now, nothing crazy. You know, I think the two top middle linebackers in this year's free agency class, they both signed with Chicago, right? The names are escaping me right now, but I know Chicago signed both of them, right? One of them was from Philly, Edwards, TJ Edwards, right? And I'm sure we looked at those kind of guys, but we ended up with kind of a thumper in Landon Roberts, who's looked good in the preseason. More of a downhill guy, a run stuffer. Not really the athletic profile, but he seems to be a leader on the field. Cole Holcomb from the Red Hogs. You're going to have to get used to that, B-Rye. I call what's their actual name? The Commanders. Me and Len call them the Red Hogs because that's what their name should have been. Maybe that's what they will rename them. He comes over from the Red Hogs, still pretty young. Made some nice plays in the preseason. He had a nice tip, which led to an Elijah Riley interception. I'm anxious to see what he can do. And then we late pickup, ex-Saint Jet, and what was the 49er, Quan Alexander, who's just been all over the field, really. Really stands out on tape in the preseason. We had a visit with him earlier in the offseason. We ended up picking him up a few weeks into camp, I believe. Early returns on all these guys so far have been positive. Oh, we also have Mark Robinson, who has potential as well, who can play on the inside. B-Rye, the inside is such a key part to the Steelers' defense. Usually not the guys who are racking up the sacks and all of that. Obviously, they have different tasks, coverage, tackling. Going back to your Shaziers and your Lawrence Timmons types, we're still looking for that answer. Do you think that answer is in this group this year?
So I'm cautiously optimistic about this group. Part of it is from the last couple of years. So I was pretty excited about getting Miles Jack. We know how that turned out. Schobert was someone who had some good stats, a lot of tackles. So I was a little optimistic about him and it didn't work out. This year though, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it in the preseason games. I'm hearing about it during training camp. So it feels different. I'm gonna go with that. I'm gonna believe in what I'm seeing and hearing. It's a group where I think all of them kind of have their own skill sets. Like you said, Roberts is a downhill thumper. I like that. I think he'll be good against the run. Those games where we play the Ravens or the Browns, and then you have Cole Holcomb, who is probably the more versatile of the groups. He'll probably be that nickel guy who can cover. So we'll see with him. He has to stay healthy as well. Quan has been all over the field. He looks good. I think he's the guy I'm probably most excited about, but he's been moving around from team to team. So, who is the true Quan Alexander here? And then Mark Robinson, like you mentioned, he's still a little raw. He's shown great signs of being a thumper playing downhill, but it was only a few years ago where he was a running back. So he's still learning the position, but the team obviously likes him. And it's going to be interesting to see how they rotate these individuals, but they can at least keep the group fresh and play downhill with them.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think all of them kind of have different traits. Holcomb, nice hair. He looks the part. Quan's got to stay healthy. Injuries have been a knock on him. But early on in the preseason, B-Rye, especially his first couple games, I mean, I'm not comparing him to Troy Polamalu by any chance, but he was around the field, around the ball, making all kinds of stuff happen where you just kind of say, who's that guy? What's Le'Veon Bell doing out there on defense, number 26? you know, like I said, I think you can rotate these guys in and out. Who's got the green dot out of that group? Is it E-Rob?
That's a good question. I mean, initially I thought it was going to be Cole because he was going to be the do everything three down kind of linebacker, but I've heard of Roberts also wearing it. So, that's a good, very good question.
Yeah, I'm very anxious to see how this group plays out. I think they're going to be key to this defense being successful. But they got it, you know, kind of a Voltron approach to it this year. So I'm anxious to see if any of these guys really stand out amongst the other three or four to truly become maybe that guy we can latch onto for a couple of years, at least as a stopgap. But I am sure we'll probably be drafting an inside linebacker fairly high next year, I would guess, to kind of be that next, hopefully, prospect to really take control of that defense. All right. From the inside to unquestionably the strength of the defense, the outside. Of course, we don't have to talk too much about TJ Watt. It's just all about him staying healthy. Until proven otherwise, he's, you know, one of the three best defenders in the entire NFL, and probably the most important player on the team outside of the quarterback, no doubt. The defense will kind of live and die by the splash plays that he makes. Alex Highsmith got a big contract extension in the offseason. He's one guy I really want to see again take another step towards becoming one of the truly great pass rushers and playmakers on defense in the NFL. And then we have maybe the darling of training camp and the preseason, B-Rye. He fell to us in the draft. Nick Herbig, who I think we're all excited about. There was questions about him coming out. Does he have the size? Does he have the moves to play on the outside? But maybe he's an inside guy. And so far, he's kind of put all those doubts to rest with his play in the preseason. B-Rye, is this group going to be our linchpin? Is this group going to stay healthy? Is this group going to make plays? What can we expect from Nick Herbig?
I think it is a linchpin. Will they stay healthy? That's the big question here. TJ has had an issue with staying healthy, and really the team overall runs with TJ in uniform. Let me pull up a stat here. So according to this source, the Steelers are in their career with TJ playing 56-26-2. Obviously we have those two ties that everyone loves, and without him, they're 1-10. So I think that really says everything. But with that being said, I think we are much better equipped to handle games where he misses one or two here and there. Yeah. Can Nick and also Marcus Golden handle, you know, 5, 6, 7 games without TJ? I don't know about that, but I think we're better able to handle a couple games here and there if TJ is out. But when you got TJ on one side and Alex Highsmith, who just got that huge contract, he showed up in great shape. He looks so lean. I think he's one of those guys that's going to make a huge next step.
Yeah.
So if he can do that, it's going to be scary.
Yeah. Yeah. And Highsmith has, I don't want to classify him as just disappointment by any means. He's far exceeded his draft position. What was he, a 6th round pick or something like that, if I recall correctly. He's been a contributor ever since he stepped on the field, you know, and now he's being paid as what, a top 20 outside linebacker in the league. The question with him is, if TJ goes down, can he maintain that production? Can he, you know, overcome the attention that TJ would get and be good on his own? Because probably suffice to say, TJ is going to miss a few games. He's just got those bad Watt genes, you know, just some people just strike out in the genetic lottery, you know, and the Watts just happen to be that. It's always hurt, you know, poor, you know. They all can't be great, B-Rai, but when they're on the field, when he's healthy, he's the best. No doubt about it. He's on a Hall of Fame trajectory. And then thank you for mentioning Marcus Golden. I think he's kind of gotten lost in the shuffle with all these additions this offseason, but he was a solid contributor in Arizona. In fact, I'm going to pull up Marcus Golden. First of all, great name for a Steeler. Black and Golden, we're going to call him here on the show. And I just keep forgetting about him. But in Arizona, going back last year, first of all, he's on the wrong side of 30. This will be his year 32 season. But he's two years removed from 11 sacks in Arizona. When he played in the Giants, he had 10 one year and 12 and a half another year. With some mixed production kind of in between those seasons. So he's a guy who has potential. I don't think you're going to see him hit double digits sacks here. If he does, it probably means one of those guys went down with an injury, which wouldn't be good. But, you know, for a guy you can plug in there, you know, to give some of these guys a rest, he's a solid vet. He's a solid vet. So, you know, I think he was a one-year deal. But he's a contributor. And great, just a great fit with the last name there, Black and Golden. So always forget about him, but he did make the team. He's on the 53, so we don't want to forget about him. All right.
Yeah.
Now, B-Rai, the bugaboo, I think for a long time, this defense was their secondary, right? Until we got Minkah Fitzpatrick a couple years ago, who's just lived up to the hype, quite honestly. He's still one of the best, if not the best, safety in the league. Playmaker. Let's hope, you know, again, as much as we say about TJ, the defense will kind of go as Minkah goes. So, you know, looking at Minkah, we're looking at KZ. We're looking at Keanu Neal coming in from the outside and Miles Killebrew, I believe a West Virginia guy, special teams contributor. They're at the safety spots, and we brought in Pat Pete as a veteran presence, Pat Peterson, Elijah Riley, who can play both positions. He can play some safety. He can play some corner. Levi Wallace is back. He was just a steady Eddie there, pretty much at cornerback. Nothing too sexy, but he's a serviceable, you know, second, third corner. Shandon Sullivan, who they brought in from the outside, who has made some plays in Minnesota, but also been kind of criticized for his inconsistency. James Pierre made the roster. Maybe one of the first guys to go if somebody kind of becomes available that they like a little bit better. And, of course, we draft Joey Porter Jr., and we also signed, the guy from the Texans. What's his name, B-Rai? I don't have his name in front of me.
Desmond King. List.
Desmond King, right. So another, you know, we kept two punters, and we ended up cutting Braden Mann and picked up King, who, physical guy, seems to be a leader, seems to really want to play for the Steelers. Another shrewd Omar Khan move. We trade them Kendrick Green, and they cut Desmond King, and he looks to be a nice little piece there. You know, not a superstar by any means, but, you know, a very serviceable player. In fact, I'm going to look. I believe he was an All-Pro.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, about 2018.
Yep, first team.
First team All-Pro in 2018, B-Rai. He, let's see here, 4 tackles for loss, 2 QB hits. Where's his INTs that year? He had a touchdown. He's a return guy too, wasn't he? Maybe not so much anymore.
Yeah.
Let me see. Where's his INTs that year? Where's his INTs? He had 3 picks that year. He's 9 in his career. He had 2 last year, which is a nice little number. 3 the year before that in Houston. So he's a guy that can play corner. Nice little pickup, veteran pickup there by Omar and group. But the big thing here, B-Rai, I think we'll all agree, and the real coup, I think, of the offseason was turning Chase Claypool into the first pick of the second round, which was really the last pick of the first round most years because Miami forfeited their pick for their bullshit that they do. Were they tampering or something? Was Miami forfeited their pick? So we ended up kind of moving up a spot. Now we don't get the fifth year on Joey Porter, but B-Rod, how excited were you to get Porter when I think a lot of people thought we might take him in the first, so we end up with Broad, and then we come back in a second and get one of the best corners in the draft who so far, I mean, you got to be happy with what you're seeing and hearing from JP Jr. so far. What's your thoughts on him? Can he be kind of that missing piece on the corner that we've been looking for a while?
I mean, you just got to love what the con artist did with unloading Claypool for that pick. For Claypool to turn into Porter Jr. is just huge. We've been hearing great things. He's been very competitive during camp. I expect big things from him. If not right away, then as the season progresses. But I think he is the key to our secondary going from good to great. If he can go stride for stride with some of the best receivers in the league, we have Ja'Marr Chase in our division. So play him 2 to 3 times a year. That alone is a lot. So I think he is the big question there. How good can he be? I do really like the Desmond King signing as well. I will say, after the flurry of free agency ads and cuts, I felt like that was like probably our weakest area from a depth perspective, because you don't really know what you're going to get from Peterson. He's I believe 33 years old. He had a really good year last year, but when you get to that age, you just never know what you're going to get. So I think overall as a group, there's a little bit of risk here, but I do like all the pieces that are added, and it really just depends on Porter and how far he can take that secondary.
Yeah. I mean, the critique on Porter was the lack of interceptions in college, but someone with his profile, the length and the height, I mean, he's got the potential to be a true lockdown guy. He's got every motivator in the world to want to be a successful part of the black and gold, lore, so to speak. Obviously, his father was a very important piece for some great Steelers defenses, and I'm very excited he had a pick. And granted, it was kind of a meatball interception in the preseason, but he got one. So you like to see that for your young guys and their confidence in, all reports so far is he's just a tremendous contributor and competitor and worker in camp. So I'm very excited to see how he develops. It's almost like we had 2 first round picks this year getting him. It's just kind of the stars kind of aligned, B-Ryan. I think that's been kind of the theme of the offseason. Looking back on, and of course we don't want to forget the specialists, your Boswells, your Presley Harvin is back as inconsistent as he can be, and rounding out the roster is Christian Kuntz. But you look at this team, and we'll talk about this topic now, B. Ryan, and that's the job of the front office. I can't think of a time when a front office has, I don't know how to describe it, maybe looked at things like fans do. And when we say, our weakness is, like you mentioned, the secondary. All right, what are we going to do about it? Well, this guy's out there, last year, KZ's out there. This year, Keanu Neal, physical guys, big hitters, playmakers. He goes out and gets him. What would really help this secondary, because we're going to draft a cornerback high, what would really help at all? The leadership of, probably a Hall of Famer, Patrick Peterson.
Yeah.
Then you look at, we just talked about Marcus Golden, Quan Alexander, Holcomb, Roberts, guys who, are veterans, but they're not over the hill, and they're productive. You look at the offensive, go and get an Allen Robinson for cheap. You know, he's no slacker either. Having the balls to take Kenny Pickett, high. You know, Herbig fell in the draft. I think as the rounds went on, we knew he was a guy they would probably like, right, from Wisconsin. He's sitting there. What do? They take him. You know what I mean? I don't want to say they're predictable because they're not, looking back to Kevin Colbert, but he just seems to be doing all the right things. I don't want to say managing the team as we would as fans, but it almost feels like that, right? He identifies needs. He gets guys with pedigrees and he makes things happen. Would you agree, B. Ryan, or are you feeling Omar Khan and his front office so far?
Yeah, I'm feeling it. He has been beyond my expectations. I would say he's constantly active. He's constantly looking at ways to improve the team. From what I've heard, he is a great person to work with. So when he calls to inquire about traits, he's very straightforward. He's very clear about what he's looking for. And I think other GMs across the league like working with people like that. So not only is he good with money, cap, he's been a cap professional for years, but he's good with people, I guess. So it's been a very exciting offseason, definitely different from what we're used to around here.
Yeah, and you know, I think we kind of got you know, I from the outside looking in, you see teams like New England always picking up guys with pedigree, you know, former first round picks, guys like, you kind of say, why aren't we doing that? You know, this guy's available. Why aren't we taking a shot at him? And they are now. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, obviously we're not on the hook for a big quarterback contract. So they're trying to strike while the iron's hot. We don't have all that cap tied up in that position, which is huge. But they see guys, like I said, KZ, Neal, high draft picks, pedigree guys. It used to feel like, you know, if you weren't from Homewood or Aliquippa, like you didn't have a, you know, the Steelers wouldn't even call you, right? And now they're looking on the outside, trying to fill these spots with veterans who have proven things in the past and still have some meat left on the bone. So, you know, I'm very excited. Omar Khan was kind of waiting in the wings for a while. He had a lot of interviews with some other teams. You know, before he got the Steelers job, before Colbert finally hung him up, he was our cap guru, so to speak. So, you know, he knows how to work the numbers. We talked a little bit about Andy Weidel coming over from Philly and his experience of building a team really through the trenches on both sides of the lines. Now, I keep saying this to people that if we have any type of success this year, like if we were to make the playoffs and really make some noise, I don't think Weidel's going to be long for this team. I think he's going to be a sought after guy around the league, given his experience in building Philly. And if Pittsburgh ends up successful, he's going to be a GM candidate sooner rather than later. But again, even hiring a guy like that shows a lot of poise and kind of wiseness beyond his years. And Omar Khan, he's a young guy. Younger, you know, in NFL terms, kind of outside the old boys club. And it's nice to see the Rooneys kind of take some trust in a guy like that. And you hope that he's around for kind of this next, hopefully, phase of glory years as we go on the stairway to seven. And really, B-Rye, we call this a stairway because, right, we're on the stairway to seven. We, you know, you got one for the thumb. You got Sixburg. Now we're on to the stairway to seven. But really, we're looking beyond that. We're looking at eight, nine, 10. Yeah. The show name's not going to change once we get to seven with Kenny and Omar and the gang here. But, you know, you just like to see all these younger guys, and hopefully we can grow together in this next phase of Steelers football. Okay, B-Rye. That being said, a great job by the front office, and I'm very much looking forward to these next couple of years and how they continue to build and draft this team, because the drafts the last couple of years have been exciting as well, not just the free agency pickups. Which players that we just talked about, B-Rai, are you keenly interested in this year? Which guys do you think are ready to take that next step, either rookies or vets?
Next step. So I'm not going to mention Pickett. I think everyone, you know, he's an obvious choice. So let's dig a little bit deeper here. I think Pickens is a choice for a lot of people. Let's dig deeper than that. Let's go with a guy like, I think you mentioned him earlier, Leal. Can he become that starter when, you know, in the upcoming years when Cam retires, if Larry moves on or has injuries, can he be that guy to help be a rock on the defensive line? That's huge. And then moving right over to outside linebacker, Alex Highsmith, he's had a huge contract. He had a good year, but can he take it to the next step and you know, dominate if TJ misses a game or two? Those two guys alone could really, really have a great impact on this defense.
Yeah, I agree. In particular, B-Rai, I'm looking at Jimmy Daniels on the offensive line. I think we had higher hopes for him last year in free agency. I was kind of surprised the Bears let him go. I think if he can really ascend to that next level, it's going to be huge for this offensive line, because I think you know what you're getting in Siamalu. Siamalu, however you pronounce it. I want to see Chooks take that next step. It'd be great if Dan Moore could hold off Broad Jones all year, because that would just mean he's playing really well. You know, a couple of those guys on the offensive line, I'm going to be very interested to see how they develop. I agree with Highsmith, you know, if he could really ascend, you know, top 50, you know, earn that contract even, or ascend to be like a top 10 guy, double digit sack guy, stepping up when TJ's out, being a real game changer, being that household name. Man, if we could have a 1-2 punch like that. Ooh. And yeah, I mean, he's got all the potential in the world. If we can catch that lightning in a bottle with him and TJ at the same time, man, we're going to be a threat on defense. But, you know, these guys got to get to the ball. And ultimately, it's going to come down to that secondary. I want to see Minka make more plays. You know, he's made a lot as a Steeler so far. I want to see a couple pick sixes from him this year. I want to see Patrick Peterson. This is kind of working backwards. He had a lot of interceptions last year. He had a good season in Minnesota. If he can just maintain and sustain and rub off on some of these guys, I think it's going to be huge. I just looking at this roster, B-Rai, and I want to say which guys are going to take a step back, but we don't have a lot of veterans on this team, I think, that are even poised to regress. Obviously, you look at Cam Hayward, who's been here for a long time, but he's showing no signs of slowing down. You know, I mean, that's the exciting part of this team, is we're so young, really, at every position. And the guys like your Haywards and your Petersons, even if they're not making plays, are going to be great influences on their colleagues. You know, I mean, it's, you listen to Patrick Peterson on these, you know, interviews that he gives on the sidelines, and you know he's rubbing off in a positive way on some of these young guys. Wallace, Porter, obviously. You know, it's just great to see. I mean, there's just not a lot of age. We're the opposite of the Pittsburgh Penguins, really. The Steelers are. Two teams going in different directions in terms of the youth movement, for sure. You know, and then I look at guys like Neil and KZ. Can they stay healthy? Can they be the big hitters? Can they be the wallopers in the secondary, create some turnovers there? So yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of guys primed for regression at all. I mean, if several of these guys can really take a next step, this team's going to be completely different. So that's a good recap of the roster, B-Rai. Let's look at the path ahead, shall we? Let's look at our schedule. Let's break it down here real quick. I'll rattle it off. Obviously, we start off at home, Sunday, September 10th on Fox against the venerable San Francisco 49ers. Brock Purdy should be in action. Is he the real deal? Well, he's going to find out, pal. It's going to be quite the test. I took the Steelers. Len and I just did our season preview and our week one picks. I took the Steelers as kind of the upset there at home. Looking at ahead at this schedule, B-Ra, you're gonna think it's a soft schedule. Now, things can change quickly in the NFL, but we're prime, buddy. We're prime to make a push given this schedule and how it looks today. Week two, we are back at home against Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns. And that's a Monday night game on ABC. A big rivalry matchup. Week three, we travel to Vegas to try our hands at the slots in the Vegas Raiders and Jimmy GQ. That's a Sunday night game on NBC. Week four, we got CJ Stroud on the road at NRG Stadium in the Houston Texans, 1 o'clock on CBS. Week five, we welcome the Ravens to Acrisure Stadium, 1 o'clock on CBS. We get our bye week, nice little bye week there to kind of recoup at week six. A pretty early bye, all things considered, and nowadays NFL. week seven, we travel back out west to LA, get a lot of playing time early on in the season here, a lot of time to gel as a team here on these long plane rides. LA Rams, Matthew Stafford, Inglewood, California, 4:05 Eastern on Fox. Week eight, we have the Jacksonville Jaguars at Acrisure. It's going to be a good game, I think. Trevor Lawrence and team remind me a lot of these Steelers. Maybe a step or so or half step ahead of where we're at in terms of rebuilds. Obviously, both teams have kind of taken a little step back since they last met in the playoffs. The Jags, obviously, with some playoff success more recently. 1 o'clock that game is on CBS. Then we got a Thursday night game. B-Rye, the first of two this year. We welcome the Tennessee Titans and Ryan Tannehill to Acrisure Stadium. That's 8:15 on Prime Video. You know what that is? week 10, we got Jordan Love and the Packers coming to Acrisure, 1 o'clock on CBS. Week 11, November 19th, we have the Brownies at their place this time, 1 o'clock on CBS. Week 12, so what, this would be the Sunday after Thanksgiving, I'm guessing. We are at Cincinnati, Paycor Stadium, 1 o'clock at CBS. So we got, we just stay in Ohio there. We just get a nice little hotel in the middle of Ohio and stay there over Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Have the stuffing, have the family come out to the Holiday Inn there in Milan, Ohio or something where I'll be at this weekend, my brother-in-law's house. So yeah, we're staying in Ohio there over Thanksgiving. And then we got week 13. We welcome the Arizona Cardinals, and who knows who their quarterback will be at that point. The Cardinals are not looking very good this season, but that could be a trap at home. After we stayed in Ohio over Thanksgiving, and maybe we're distracted. We want to get back, try to get one last mow in, you know, because you're away for 2 weeks. And maybe the Cardinals sneak up on us there, 1 o'clock on CBS. And then we got our second Thursday night game of the year. We actually welcome Bill Belichick and the Patriots, 8:15 on Prime Video. Mac Jones, man, that just feels like one that I can't wait. To really put Belichick and Mac in their place after all those years of torment. Then we travel out to Indianapolis the 16th of December, week 15, to play Anthony Richardson and the Colts at Lucas Oil indoors. Time, TBA, Eastern time. Then week 16, we welcome the Bengals to Acrisure in, the last home game of the year. A lot of home games earlier on in the season. Week 16, that's 2 days before Christmas, December 23rd, 4:30 on NBC. A 4:30 start time against the Bengals on NBC. They must be anticipating that to be a big game, Brian. On the 16th week of the season. Then we travel out west again, Mirai. Another long plane ride out to the Seahawks. Why are we playing this fucking Seahawks so much lately? I don't know why. Why is that? Why are we playing? I feel like we're playing them every year now. Is that you got some agreement there or what? You know, me and Len will be up for that one on New Year's Eve, Mirai, the 31st of December, 4:05 on Fox. And then we're back east for the armpit of the East Coast, to Baltimore, to wrap up the season and what should be a pivotal game in the playoff race, or we hope it to be. Time, TBA Eastern, Saturday, January 6th, BRI, against the Ravens, week 18, to wrap up the season. Oh, man. B-Rye, I mean, what are we looking at here? We got 17 games, right? Do you think, what do you think? 10-7, realistic for this team? Do you think that's good enough to make the playoffs?
So I think the biggest threat is within the division. We have a tough division. How are the Browns going to look? That's a big question too. I think you'd expect the Bengals to be a very tough team. You can expect the Ravens to show up as long as Lamar's healthy. That's a tough question. I think that's a safe bet. 10-7. I'm going to go 11-6. I'm going to be a little bit more optimistic here. I think 10-7, does that make the playoffs as a wild card spot? Traditionally, I'm trying to remember, does that typically make it?
Well, 9-8 barely missed last year, right? So you would think 10-7 would be good enough to get in. Yeah, I mean, I would hope 11-6, right, is ultimately, I think, where we want to be. That should be good enough to get in, you would think. I see a lot of, right now, soft games. Texans, even Vegas without Carr, what's that team going to look like? Mm-hmm. The Rams. The Titans aren't what they once were. The Packers, what are they going to be? The Cardinals, the Patriots aren't what they once were. The Colts, these are all winnable games. Now, I'm sure we'll drop a couple of them that we're supposed to win. We'll probably win a few we're not supposed to either. We got to get out of the division at least 500. You know, I think all those AFC North games are crapshoots when it comes down to it. We got to win at home. Be right. We got to win at home. That's key. We got to win these games early in the season. We got an early bye. Yeah, I'll say 10-6. I'll say 10-6, and we'll be right there on the last day of the season, probably against the Ravens last weekend there. What did I say? The Ravens game actually is Sunday, January 7th, but I also have sat or January 6th. So I guess that game could be flexed.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what it is. The Colts game, I will say, going. The Colts game is scheduled for Saturday, December 16th, or Sunday, December 17th. What is going on with this crazy schedule? Pick a schedule and stick with it. What if the stones are torn or something? They want to use your stadium, man. You got to have this shit figured out. The NFL just – I tell you what, though, B-Rai. The NFL, they know how to promote their brand, promote the game, get the key matchups in the right times. As opposed to other garage leagues like the NHL, who doesn't know how to market their game at all, or even fucking Penguins aren't even going to be on TV this year again. I'm not going to be able to see them again because just sticking with cable, they're just rebranding that stupid network that they were on. So thank God we can rely on the Steelers to at least be on television. Yeah, B-Rye, I'll go with 10-6. I think the over-under is 9 wins again. Anything less than that is a huge disappointment. I want to see a playoff spot this year. 10-7. I want to see 11-6. God, I got to get used to this 17 game schedule, extra game
right,
now too.
Right.
So anything less than the playoffs, I want to see them take, even if it's an early exit, we got to get there. We got to get there to really, I think, have faith in the process, right? We want to see Pickett develop. And man, anything less than that, we're going to be asking questions. It all relies on him. We kind of tiptoed around talking about Kenny because that's what everyone talks about. But man,
right.
If he doesn't show that progression this year, you know the questions are going to start coming. Do we have to take a quarterback again? Is he the answer? Any type of uncertainty heading into year three is not good. I have all the faith in the world in him. People forget, B-Rye, that he was a Heisman finalist on a team that really doesn't get a lot of attention anymore at Pitt. He had a similar path as Joe Burrow, you know, kind of developing late in his collegiate career to ascend to that Heisman picture. He made some great plays. He ran a pro style offense. You know, he's a little bit older, sure, for a young quarterback. But I think his qualities, his tangible, intangible qualities, leadership, it all appears to be there. So I don't think there's any question about that, about his commitment. But we want to see the interceptions go down. We need to see the touchdowns go up. We need to see the ball push downfield. We need to control the game with our offense as opposed to kind of just treading water and making our defense come back out on the field again and again and again and again. They need some rest. They need some time to refuel so they can get out there and make those splash plays. I think there was just too many times when they had to come back out again after making a key stop, and they just got worn down. What do you think, B-Rye? Making the playoffs? You think it's a good chance?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with 11-6. We're going to get the wild card spot, probably the last one. And now, I know Steeler fans don't want to hear this, but I think it's going to be an early exit this year. With that being said, I think we're going to feel better about where we're at. I think it's going to be a close game, not like some of the blowouts we've had previously in wildcard games. I think it's going to be a close one. I think it's going to be one that's heartbreaking, but you feel good about the future. And then I think next year is going to be really when we become a competitive team, ready to push the Bengals, ready to compete against anybody. So that's my final prediction.
Yeah, that's the thing is all these other quarterbacks and offenses and teams appear to be young and ready for long. The Chiefs, I think, are entering dynasty territory here. We always kind of had to go up against the Patriots and kind of weasel our way through them somehow to find some success in the playoffs and in the Super Bowls, right? Kind of work our way around Brady and the gang. We're going to have to do it again, B-Rye. We're going to have to hope some fortune maybe to avoid Mahomes and crew or Burrow and crew in those playoff matchups, or better yet, work our way through them and beat them, which is where we ran into problems with Brady and the gang when we had a really good teams. So, B-Rye, that's the Steelers for 2023 and hopefully deeper into 2024. Any final thoughts here before we kick off the season?
I'm just really excited about this team. The vibes are good. Really no negativity, which is a breath of fresh air. I think the years of the Killer Bees, the last time I've been this excited, really just can't wait for week one to kick off with the 49ers. It's going to be a great game. And then we'll see what we're made of.
We're going to make Purdy look real Purdy laying on that Heinz field, natural grass, natural sod there. B-Rye, can't wait to knock him down a peg or two. What do you say? Week one, we're getting that win. We're going to welcome them to Acrisure Stadium in the finest Steelers fashion possible. It's going to be a raucous crowd next week. And we're going to remind everybody why Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant. What do you say?
Sounds good to me.
All right, B-Rye. Well, thank you for joining me. We will come back after week one and see if we're right. What do you say? I appreciate everybody tuning in. It was a lot of fun. I hope you Steelers fans enjoyed this deep dive into your favorite team. You can look forward to tuning in to B-Rye and us throughout the season. We'll have a lot more to talk about for sure. See if our predictions are right or wrong and how we're trending. B-Rye, thanks again. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And we'll see everybody next time right here on the stairway. Living Room Champs are out.